Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah, yeah. Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Woo-hoo. Yes, sir.
Y'all know what time it is.
Let's get it.
Yes, sir. America.
Time is now.
Right. We are very excited coming to last part of July here. We got a lot of things to discuss. Man, training camp is opening. We're going to discuss a lot of stuff. We have some news regarding big contracts. We have some news regarding women's soccer, baseball, even MLS if you want to dive in that route too. If we have some time, we can talk about college football too. So, but America, I'm excited to say we have some really, really breaking news. Gary Schaefer has officially agreed to some contract terms. We've got the 5-year, $400 million deal. And the icing on the cake was, in fact, the hot fudge sundae, too. So, you know, we're able to get that going as well. So, Gary, we're happy that you accepted the terms of the deal and that, you know, you're here. So, you know, thank you for accepting the deal, man. So, you know, without you, I don't know how this would even happen, man. So, you know, we went through some trade demands, you know, so we talked about 6-7 rounds. First round picks, but what we settled, man. So we'll talk about that, and also if there's maybe a Lakers hater sign once every other show, man. So we'll talk about it later, man. But thank you for signing.
Yes,
up.
Good idea.
Rent free.
We're having some fun. JQ, are you joining us, man, on the Zoom, or you got some things happening, man? I know we're missing you, so you know, just wanted to make sure you're still jumping in that as well too. So.
Yeah, I'll be there in a second. I'm on dad duty. Erica is in Mexico with some of her sorority sisters, so I was just trying to get them situated and whatnot. So, yeah, I'll be there in a second. So, that's my update. I'm
dad
on dad duty for the next 5 days. Yeah.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Chandelier duty is much easier.
Can you give me some chocolate cake?
That's, yeah, he's got to share some vibes, too, for sure.
You feeding him chocolate cake for breakfast, JQ?
Dad, it is great. Clap because of the chocolate cake. Yeah, no, I'm going to cook for him tomorrow. So get some food. I gave him some stuff. There was some junk food tonight, first night, you know, spoil him a little bit. But I'll settle him back in. They, you know, one's a teenager, one's close to being a teenager. So they don't need a whole bunch for me to do. I'm just trying to make sure I'm around and getting where they need to be. You know what I mean?
Good stuff. Hey, we appreciate you doing your duty, man. And, you know, we salute
you as
well.
Good man.
Hey, Robport, how you feeling this evening, sir? How you feeling this evening, Rob? You feeling good?
Man, doing great, man. Ready to get this party started. You know, had a little asparagus and broccoli tonight. We're ready to do this.
Man.
I eat your vegetables, Steve.
Gary, save us, bro. What you got, man? How you been?
I'm doing all right. This movie sucks. Right now, we've lost out on 3 homes, so we're homeless in Florida still. But we're working diligently with our real estate agent. We're doing a lot of Zoom stuff, you know, going through houses, things like that. Once we figure one out and they accept our offer, then I'll fly back. I'll view it, be back there for the inspection, and away we go.
Okay, good stuff. All is well. So without further ado, we have a lot of topics to jump into, and let's do that. So, but before we do, I've got a couple of numbers to give out. We always throw out the numbers if you want to call into the show. The number always stays the same. It's the 424-243-9519. So always call your boys via that number. You know, normally I magically post something and Nash shows up too, so we'll see if that comes to fruition as well. follow us on the Twitter, as the kids say, which is at the which is literally at 12 Man Sports. And then if you go to Facebook.com, you can go to Talking Sports with 12 Man, it's 12 Man, and you will find us in that arena as well. So we've got a lot of things to discuss, gentlemen, and let's kick it off with we kind of touched about this a little bit, and you know, it's one of the situations where I know the first topic got the gate, Rob, and we pushed to get the topics early was DeMar Hamlin. He was a full go at the Bills training camp, but again, I think all of us had some reservations about this because it was a situation where it's like, hey, man, you don't have to prove anything to anyone. But he is technically a full go to go at camp. I guess not quite sure how to feel if this is, you know, just for, I'm not going to say, you know, publicity, but it just seems like I don't know if this is a movie he's going to see how much he's going to play or what's going to happen. It's hard to predict what's going to happen in season two. So I guess we'll go around the horn. I don't know if you want to leave off JQ because obviously we know what happened versus the Bengals, but you'll get the first crack at it, sir.
Yeah, I was there in person, man, and I feel some kind of way about it. I just wish they had made him an ambassador, man. I just, you know, then especially on the heels of Bronny, not exactly the same, but, you know, I just don't want to see that dude get hurt. And we look back and regret of why did we let this man get back on the football field. I understand this is something he's a lifelong dream to play in the NFL. I don't want to necessarily take that away from him, but, man, he had a catastrophic event happen to him.
Catastrophic.
I just, you know,
right.
Yeah, I just don't know if I feel great about him being back on the field. You know what I mean? So, you know, I know they cleared him medically and they said he's good. But, yeah, man, I'm just not necessarily a fan of it. But, you know, I can't, you know, keep that man from his livelihood, what he's trained and tried to put forth for most of his life to get back to. So, you know, I just wish him all the best, to be honest.
Rob, you want to take that or Gary?
I'll take it.
Gary can go, Nick.
Okay. You know, they put him through, I'm sure, just a whole lot of tests that, and over again, and at different times and different, you know, times in his recovery, where they wouldn't have, you know, allowed him to come back. But as a father, if that were my son, mm-hmm. I would have told him, son, you know, you made it. You made it. This is a, you know, it's a tragedy what you went through. But let's not take a chance with the rest of your life. He's not going to know. You know, I'm sure those thoughts are in his mind. You know, if you, those of us who have been injured in sports, not to that degree, but to any degree, you know, you're wondering how you're going to react to that first hit, to that first point of contact, you know, and as he, I'm sure it's going to go through his head. But as that happens, I'm sure it'll get, you know, he'll dust the cobwebs off and, you know, hopefully, you know, it won't affect him like it did, and he's just that football player that we want to see out on the field. I wish him the best.
Yeah, it's tough.
I think I kind of share the same sentiments that you all share on this one. It's just a scary situation, and I wish the same. I wish he would have retired from football and as JQ mentioned, being ambassador for the game, you know, something like that, or, you know, and I think he might have even would have had a bigger legacy stepping away and could have had a bigger impact, you know, to the game of football as opposed to coming back and playing it. Just my personal feelings, but, you know, it's a tough situation. You know, like I said, totally agree with you all. Wish you would retire, step away from the game, and maybe helping young kids and things of that nature, and being some kind of an ambassador to the game, whether it be the college level, the pro level, or even you know, just football in general, right? And, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, scariest thing I think any of us have ever seen watching a game of football. Yeah, I mean, we've seen guys get paralyzed, but we didn't see a guy, you know, just laying on the field not breathing. And, I mean, that's scary.
Yeah, we talk about it being a violent game. I know there are some injuries that we've seen, like if you were old enough to remember, like the Joe Theismann hit, you know, with Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
There's been some scary injuries. I know in the Super Bowl, you know, going back to seeing, I remember the Bengals playing the 49ers, and what was it, Tim Kumri? Saw that.
Tim Kumri.
He had to. Yeah, and it was just, you've seen some scary stuff too. Even Tua back in the day, whatever, he was kind of like, you know, kind of out, but nothing can kind of top what happened, you know, seeing somebody just kind of, you know, emotional from the field.
Yeah.
And I think I said this a couple of shows before.
Chucky Mullins.
Sometimes you
have
to.
Football.
Mm-hmm.
Caroline.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You remember, sometimes you have to protect the player from himself. And I think that's something that, you know, no matter how you mentioned it, Gary, as far as, you know, if you have parents or kids, and sometimes, you know, you're so excited, the adrenaline's going, you're like, you want to get out there, you're like, you know what, I have to protect you because you don't need to get out there, especially when it comes to something that's life-threatening. So I agree with everyone. It would be great if he's become an ambassador, just pay that guy, you know, whatever you can do to kind of keep him going and just kind of let him walk away. But, you know, it's different, you know, as far as that. But it's tough. It's tough for sure. So we'll wrap that up, if you will. So let's go into something a little positive here. And left tackle, looks like the New York Giants are throwing around money. So they are throwing around money this time for a essential building block, obviously signing the left tackle, big left tackle, Andrew Thomas, to a 5-year, $117.5 million extension. $67 million guaranteed. You know, like I said, he's the number 4 overall pick in 2020, and he struggled in his first year, but, you know, he literally turned it around, and he looks like he's a promising rookie all-pro is what this dude is looking like, too. So this is actually a great, great move for the Giants, locking him up, too. So go ahead, Rob. I'll let you go about that, man.
Yeah, number 4 overall pick in the 2020 draft, you know, out of Georgia, as Andre mentioned, definitely struggled his rookie season. He was coming off of his best season. He really had a dominant season this past season at the left tackle position. Was a big factor in that offense. And Daniel Jones' development, as well as the breakout season for Saquon Barkley, you know, he was a huge factor in both of them having a successful season, and ultimately the Giants having one of their best seasons that they've had in a long time. So definitely a huge move. It's a record deal in the NFL for offensive linemen. It's the biggest contract for any offensive lineman in league history, which it seems like we've heard a lot of record contracts in sports in general this week, right? Justin Herbert, biggest NFL contract. I mean, and then you have Jaylen Brown, the biggest NBA contract in NBA history. And then there's a proposed deal for Mbappe. It's insane with some of the contracts you've seen, or some of the money that's thrown around in sports in general this week. But congrats to Andrew Thomas. Like I said, you know, got off to a rough start his rookie season. He's coming on looking like that number 4 overall pick that the Giants invested in him in the 2020 draft. He did his job, and now we got to see what's going to happen with Zach Martin with the Cowboys. You know, I think the Cowboys were banking. I think this was unexpected for the Cowboys, right? Yeah, Zach Martin's got 2 more years left on his contract. You know, they were focusing on, you know, Trayvon Diggs and maybe Michael Parsons. Didn't really see this one coming. But when you look at the guard market, Zach Martin is one of the best in the league, might be one of the best players on the Cowboys team. He's getting $13 million a year. And the best guards in the league are making $20 million a year. So, obviously, he feels like he's well underpaid. Obviously, he can't get tackle money like Andrew Thomas. I mean, tackles are going to get paid more money than guards. And so you can't expect him to get a contract like Andrew Thomas. But he's hoping to get closer to that $20 million top guard market.
Go ahead, Gary.
Well, congratulations to Thomas. You know, to have that $67 million guaranteed, you know, that's huge. I hope he reverts back to year one for that money. I don't want him injured. I don't want anything like that. I just want him to go back and struggle. And no offense to the guy. I wish him all the best, but, you know, I hate the Giants, so that's what I'm rooting against him. So I'm hoping he reverts
all the
back.
Best, but he wants him to struggle.
I get it. I get it.
I'm glad he got that. That's his best. Now I want him to struggle. He's going to get $67 million. I'm hoping $67 million in cut in 3 years.
Damn.
Not 3 years.
Just to me, when I read that and I saw it, I was just like, man, poor Saquon. You watch your left tackle get paid. You watch your quarterback get paid. And everybody in the world knows that you are the engine, the heartbeat of that team. And you come in just over, just under really $1 million over what the franchise tag is. And you don't even get the benefit of getting the franchise tag. So if you get franchised again, you get the kicker for being franchised multiple years in a row. So that's honestly the first thing I thought. I mean, you know, you got to pay, we talk about it, your left tackle, your defensive end, your quarterback, your cornerback, you got to pay those guys.
Yep.
You got to pay them. That's what the market bears. But I felt so bad for Saquon when I saw that. He's got to be like, you know, I'm the reason. I mean, I get it, you blocking for me, but some of those I had to reverse fields and break eight tackles, you know, to get us the first down and get us the touchdown. And I barely get over the franchise tag, and you guys are out here making all this money. So congrats to, you know, Thomas for that. But, yeah, it just made me feel even worse for Saquon.
Well, the,
yeah, I thought about
what I would say on that with you know, Saquon is, you know, how that running back has just been – running back position has just been devalued. You know, 25 years ago, all those running backs back then, they were the highest paid on their team. And it was that way for a long time. They start going to this, you know, hurry up offense, these, you know, all this passing attack, and it just left them out cold. Some of the teams that are, you know, continuing to, you know, try and run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, they can get that at bargain basement, so it works out great for them. You know, it's just I'm just shocked how it's changed like that. You know,
mm-hmm.
especially with a guy that's, you know, with you know Saquon, you know, he's one of the best, you know, running backs in the league, and for him to just get barely over, and he's kind of screwed himself. You know, just like you said, Jake, mm-hmm. He would have been way better off taking the franchise because he ain't going to get nowhere near what that second-year franchise kicker is going to be.
Little bit of breaking news, you guys, not to change the subject, but it looked like it's official. University of Colorado is rejoining the rejoining the Big 12 and leaving the Pac-12. So they're going back to
wow.
the Big 12 and leaving. So another school is leaving the Pac-12 conference. So earlier tonight, it was reported that they were in talks, but it's official. The Big 12 conference is going to accept them back into the conference, and they'll be joining the Big 12 in 2024.
Wow. First time of the fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We saw that, and the breaking news in that looks like the Angels are not going to trade Shohei Ohtani. They're going to try to build around it, too. So I saw that about an hour ago, too. So
yeah.
We can talk about that a little bit later, too. So just keep throwing money at the problem, you know. So there you go. So
you look at
as far as the situation.
Man, he's playing in a big market. He's in Los Angeles. I never understood why the Angels didn't try to make that work anyway. I know they say they're going to be buyers and try to – they're in third place in the division. I think about 6.5 games out of first place. But you're in Los Angeles. You're in a big market.
Yeah.
It seems like the Angels should be doing more to put pieces around him and turn that team to contender. So it sounds like they're going to be buyers here in the trade market. So we'll see if they can even turn that team into a postseason contender. But, I mean, if you're the Angels, you got to do everything you can to keep that in place. He's already in Los Angeles.
Yeah, but I think you missed the boat. If you let that happen and now you are 31st nigga to trade in line, you're 5 days away, unless you've had conversations that we don't know about this $500, $600 million contract extension or a new contract you're going to give him, that dude walks away at the end of this year and you don't get shit for him. And you let that sit there and you just let it get to this point and you don't trade him. That is a horrible misplay by the Angels for a half a season. They don't have the pitching staff to make it to the World Series and to win it. And then he's probably looking like, man, I can't keep Trout healthy. I'm me. And they didn't want to give me this money right now. He potentially walks away. I think when you let it get to this point, the Angels have misplayed their hand. Unless they sign him to some mega contract and he stays in L.A. for another 10 years, if he walks away with nothing because they misguided, he said, we're going to try to be the third wild card team and get bounced out and have him walk away, you got me. I know it's hard to trade him, but if you haven't given him that contract yet and you 5 days away from the trade deadline and he walks away, you could have got so many prospects for him.
You in L.A., you got to come up with a way to keep that kid in L.A. I mean, you can get so many endorsements. You can get so many things in there. No, I agree with you. You got to re-sign him. You can't lose him for nothing. So hopefully, for the Angels' sake, I mean, trust me, I'm sure Gary will say the same thing. I wish he was with the Yankees. But, you know, if I'm the general manager in the Angels, I'm doing everything I can to keep him in that market, try to give him as many endorsements as possible, and stack that team. I mean, you're in Los Angeles, man.
He might be in Los Angeles, but not playing for that team.
Right. Yeah. And I don't disagree with that. But why would you let it get so close to the end and then risk that? You knew that last year. You knew that 2 years ago, right? Like, you should have done that already. You knew he was going to command a whole lot of money. You should have tried to lock that up a while ago. Now you let it get this close to where he might just be disinterested with what y'all have happening. Mm-hmm. And he walks away for nothing. It's a really scary game of chicken that they're playing right now. Because if you lose that kid for nothing, when you could have got a whole lot for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
If you're the Angels, there's a lot of teams that I know that you're probably like, let's rebuild that farm system. Let's just grab all the top prospects. And then, you know, like you said, then, all right, okay, this is what we got. And then somehow you can, oh, by the way, I'm going to throw you $500 million to come back. You know, so you can kind of double it up too. So the situation, man, where – figure that out, man. You know, so I agree with you, JQ, man. It's you have misplayed your hand at all. You've been terrible at poker, my guy. So that's not what you want to do.
I think that's what they're going to do is piss it away.
Wow. Yeah. Like I said, we'll see, man. I don't know how much money is enough, man. But he I'm sure he wants to win too. Generally, at some point. Let's keep it going, gentlemen. We got to talk about some. We're talking about quarterbacks. We went from the position that's been severely devalued to a position that's probably overinflated. But let's talk about quarterbacks here, and we got a lot of things to discuss here. Robbie said it earlier. Like all this money is going around this week, and Justin Herbert and the Chargers agreed to a 5-year, $262.5 million deal. We'll talk about how that's going to impact JQ and and Joe Burrow, because right now Joe Burrow is saying, I think he was saying that it's going to work out when it's supposed to work out. I do want to say before we talk about that, Gary, some good news.
I'm sure he is.
Is that your ex-kicker, Brett Maher, signs with the Broncos. So there you go, man. Just wanted to give you some glimmer of hope out there, man. So there you go, man.
Sean Payton trying him again? He had a brief thing with the Saints too.
With
Lessons hurt.
He signed him. He signed him. Wow. I just I'm looking at the news, and yeah, there you go. So go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I think to some degree Joe Burrow should be happy, because it seemed like the next contract is always bigger, right? So to some degree, he should be happy that Justin Herbert signed before he did, because he should be getting an even bigger contract. And you look at what Burrow has accomplished a little bit more than what Justin Herbert has accomplished. Burrow was the number one pick. Herbert was number six pick. Burrow was going to the Super Bowl. He's going to the AFC Championship twice. And so he's accomplished a little bit more. Herbert's got a ton of potential, probably more talented than Joe Burrow. But I think Joe Burrow has it up here a little bit more than Justin Burrow, as far as, you know, IQ of the football game and making the right decisions with the football. But I think if you're Joe Burrow, you got to be saying, hey, if I'm next, mine is going to be bigger than his. I perform more. I accomplish more. My team is knocking on the door getting to a Super Bowl championship. And so, you know, not to steal any thunder from JQ, I know he's got his thoughts on this, but if I'm Burrow, I got to be thinking, hey, if I'm next, my contract is going to be even bigger than what Justin Herbert just signed for. But obviously the Chargers did the right thing here. They want to be a contender. They got to lock up the quarterback. This is, I think, a make-or-break season for him and their head coach. Obviously, they got Kellen Moore as offensive coordinator this year. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they shake out this coming season. I mean, they're in the division with the best quarterback in the league in Patrick Mahomes, so that's going to be tough sledding for them right there. But this Chargers team, they have a talented roster. And when you look at Austin Eckler, they have good receivers, solid offensive line. They got some good players on defense. I mean, the overall roster is just as talented and not more talented than the Chiefs, but the Chiefs have the best quarterback in the game and a more experienced head coach than Andy Reid. So we have to see, you know, can Justin Herbert get them over the hump? I mean, they blew a 27-0 lead to Jacksonville in the playoffs. And, I mean, Justin Herbert has got to he's got to earn his contract. And so far his talent is there, but he's got to do better than what he's done so far.
Yeah, and this is going right. And I think we talked about it in the text, and I think it was really a game of chicken between Burrow and Herbert because they know the second guy was going to make more money than the first guy who signed. And shockingly, the Bengals waited the Chargers out, and you can't always say the Bengals have the best, you know, track record in terms of signing free agents and all the other good stuff. But I think a piece of it is that they wanted to make sure that Burrow felt comfortable that he was going to make more than Herbert. And they wanted to see what that number was going to be so they could come in just a little north of that number, because it also affects Logan Wilson, it affects T. Higgins, it affects re-signing Jamar Chase, who is eligible for extension next year. So you only got one franchise tag. So, you know, you gotta get those dominoes in place. And obviously, of course, Burrow is the centerpiece to that whole puzzle. So, you know, good on Justin. The Chargers have to make that move. They have to make that move. They have to pay Justin Herbert. You drafted him that high in the first round. He's showing you glimpses. He got you to the playoffs. I mean, yeah, they scored 27 points, but that defense has also got to help him out and not give up. That helped give up that lead either. When you got a Bosa and a Mac on that defense as well, right, that you signed big money to. So I want to say that for a while the Chargers had Bosa as non-highest paid quarterback. They have Bosa, Mac, Slater I think is making money on the offensive line. Poor Eckler, he can't get no money. Then you got Mike Williams and you got, didn't my dude's name, the other wide receiver. If you keep those guys healthy, like you said, the Chargers have a very talented team. So I think the Chargers did what they needed to do. I think the Bengals now know what that number looks like. You got to give them a little bit more. What does a little bit more mean? I guess is really what it comes down to, because I'm pretty sure they're probably holding negotiations with all those guys I just talked about. So, again, good on Herbert. Burrow has got to be somewhere dancing, doing the Dougie or the Gritty or whatever in the mirror. Like, yes, sir, we are getting ready to get paid. So now I know what my floor looks like, right? Nothing less than this is what I settled for. And I don't think the Bengals are dumb enough to even try to ask him for anything less than that, unless Burrow went to them and said some old Tom Brady type stuff like, hey, I don't need all of Herbert's money. I just wanted to be in his ballpark because I want to keep my weapons around him. So it's going to be interesting to see what that Burrow contract looks like, because if he takes a little bit more or a little less, you know that he is discussed with his homeboys about trying to keep that core together.
If I was Burrow's agent, look at my playoff record. I've been to the Super Bowl. Could have won the Super Bowl. Okay? This guy got, you know, $262 million. We better be north of $300 million. Mm-hmm. And I can see that happening.
Mm-hmm. I hope he doesn't do that.
Give him the contract.
All indications from what he said, and we know when money comes into play, you can say a whole lot of things, but you got to sign that contract and put your money, your mouth where your money is that he knows that he's good, but he's also good because he has a whole lot of good weapons. And if he didn't make that much money, can you keep both Higgins or Chase? Or do you say, buy T, I'd rather have Chase? You know what I mean? Like, if he goes over $300 million, I don't think you can keep Chase and Higgins, you know, in the next two years. If he stays around that number, they probably can. So that's why I'm like, I'm interested to see where he, like you said, I've done all these things more than this dude has done. Does he say I have to have $300 million? Or does he say I just need $3 million more just to say I make more than you do, bro? So when we go to the Pro Bowl or see each other, like, ha-ha, my contract is bigger than yours, but you're not killing the salary cap so you can keep your weapons around you. So I'm really interested to see what that number comes in at. But, again, I think we have found out what the floor is. I don't think he takes less, and I'm not going to ask him to take less. But does he have to kill it, like you said? Does he have to have $300 million because he's more accomplished?
Yeah. Well, I think probably what they'll do is once these guys get these contracts, then they go back and they renegotiate them and they put them in signing bonuses and they kick the can down the road to keep these other players in. So I can see them doing something like that. All these teams are going to have to. We were talking about the Cowboys earlier. Now we're on the Bengals. It's the same thing. You want to keep these core players with you. And in order to do that, you've got to give them the big money to keep them. But then once you give them the big money, then you have to, you know, then you have to play with that money. You have to move that money around. And these teams have been really, really good at that. So I can see him getting a big contract. I've really never seen anybody like Brady before where he was just absolutely willing to take less to have more around him. And sometimes he didn't even have more around him and he took less, you know. I mean, it's, you know, so.
Yeah. I agree with you. That's what I said. It's going to be real interesting to see.
Well.
You have to.
I'm just saying. I mean, that's what he did. And then he cheated to get him, but, you know.
There it was. Back in the Maybe you give Burrow a deal, kind of what Patrick Mahomes did, something. You give him, like, ownership or something. Or, you know, hey, guys, you know, something like that. Go ahead, JQ. What are you thinking?
Well, what I read was that they were exploring a new model, and I don't know if that's going to be what it is moving forward, where it's not necessarily a hard number. It is a percentage of the salary cap, right, where they say that we'll give you this percentage of the salary cap every year so that it goes up and down with it so that it stays in line so that you can pay everybody else as opposed to just saying, hey, it's this number per year. It's going to be what the salary cap is. We give you 5% or 6%, whatever it is. So I know they said the Bengals and Mike Brown had talked about that with Joe Burrow, and that might be more of like a kind of a landscape-breaking deal, and then other teams will model that. So, well, again, I'm interested to see, but I think you had to have Herbert get paid for Burrow to figure out where his number was, right? So I don't think it's going to take too much longer. I think we're talking about probably in the next couple of weeks. You find out where Joe Burrow comes in.
There it is. Shout out to Tanaj. He just texted me, and he said that he'll catch us next show. But I told you about those Tampa Bay Rays. That was strictly from the mouth of Naj. So he's going to call us next week. But he's excited about that, too. So, yeah, good job, Naj. We'll see you next week, my guy. Let's talk about this.
Yeah, definitely.
This one. So, maybe that was a shot for JQ. I don't know. We'll see. All right. We'll talk about the NFL division's best QBs, and this is going to be pretty fun, I think. You know, so we're going to start with JQ's favorite division, the AFC, and we're going to start with the AFC East. So right now you got the Bills, the Dolphins, the Patriots, and the Jets. So we got two quarterbacks, right? We got, the guy that's on the cover of Madden. We've got Josh Allen versus Aaron Rodgers, whatever the hell, Tua and Mac Jones. So we already know it's going to be between Aaron Rodgers and Josh, maybe giving Josh Allen the slight edge. What say you, Rob? Go around. Here we go.
I think I got the AFC West as number one. I think they have the best overall group of quarterbacks. So obviously, you got the best in the game, Patrick Mahomes. And then you got Justin Herbert, who's the second best in the division. I'm still going to say Russell Wilson is third. He had a down year last year. And then you round out the division with Jimmy Garoppolo. So I think from top to bottom, particularly that top two when you talk about Mahomes and Justin Herbert, and you got to look at the overall success that Russell Wilson has had. So I got the AFC West at number one. I got the AFC North as second. I mean, you got Joe Burrow. You got Lamar Jackson. We're going to see what Deshaun Watson is going to do this season with a full year training camp. And obviously Kenny Pickett, rising, going into the second year. I got the AFC East third. Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, we're going to see what Tua and Mac Jones is going to do this coming year. Then I got the NFC East. So Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Daniel Jones, Sam Howell in that order. And then I got the NFC West, Geno Smith, Brock Purdy, Matt Stafford. I don't know if it's
this shit really drops off, doesn't it, when you get to the NFC?
College,
whatever
that is.
I'm listening to these names, including the NFC East. But I'm saying, you know, you were going through these AFC teams, and you got the NFC, and I'm like,
Yeah.
Things that make you go,
Yeah. NFC East. The only AFC conference I don't have in the top, only AFC division I don't have in the top five is the AFC South. I mean, you got Trevor Lawrence, Ryan Tannehill, and you got two rookies that are unproven, right? C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson. So they're the only ones. Yeah. I got the AFC South number seven, and Andre, I got out NFC South dead last. Derek Carr, Baker Mayfield, Desmond Ritter, and Bryce Young. So I got the NFC South as dead last. The only one I
NFC
Central. I got number six.
I apologize.
I can't argue any of that.
I thought we were ranking like each quarterback in each division, so I didn't realize we were ranking the whole thing. So I apologize. But I'm like, oh, let's go ahead and rank them. So that's I get that. So my apologies.
And that's what
so
I did. That's what I did. I did what you did, Andre.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
I
like,
clarify that.
No, I was with Rob. We were talking about them as a division compared to all the other divisions, and I can't argue with any of that. There's no need to even waste any more time. Like I think it's cut and dry. Russell Wilson in there is third. He's third. A Super Bowl win, and one he should have had a second one. He's third in that ranking in his division because of Herbert and Mahomes. Like, the AFC West with a bullet. I agree. I would have put the AFC North because, you know, you got Lamar Jackson with an MVP. We see Burrow can do. I think Deshaun Watson actually was playing really well before all the stuff hit, and then he started to play better at the end of last year. Kenny Pickett, of course, is unproven. And then the drop-off between – because the ones that you're talking about, you have a strong 1-2-3, I think, with that AFC West and that AFC North. And then a couple of the other ones, you have like a top two with a Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers. You don't know if Tua's going to stay healthy. What's he going to do? You don't know about Mac Jones, right? So I can't argue with you, bro. I agree with that from top to bottom.
Yeah. Thank you, Gary. I don't feel as bad. So I'm thinking, oh, we're going to go through, we're going to rank, like, each. Okay, I got to get this. Who's the best quarterback for each? Who's for that one? Okay, so I'm like, oh, I got – I'm all listed out. Like, I'm ready to go. I'm like, oh,
yes.
Got that.
He broke it down pretty good, though. Man.
Yeah. Outstanding.
Anyway, did you want to add anything else to that, Gary, by the way?
No, I'm good with that. That's –
it's crazy, right?
Just when you
we
got
talk
to,
so much junk to each other on this show about our football teams and football in general, and he does that about the quarterbacks and the rankings, and everybody's like, yep. You know, like, that's nuts. That we spend so much time discussing football and that, and it seems to be so cut and dry between the AFC and the NFC, and then within the AFC and the NFC, how that goes. Because of the, you know, the balance of power shifted so hard to the AFC that we can't even really argue with each other over it.
Yeah,
the AFC is definitely loaded. Yeah. I mean, there's no question about it. The AFC. I mean, you
loaded on the offensive end. You're talking about because you can make an argument for the defensive side of the football with the top teams in the NFC.
But you look at the AFC right now. You look at the AFC. And you got 16 teams in each conference, but you can make a strong case for 11 teams to get to the playoffs in the AFC, and there's only seven spots.
Yeah,
so,
right.
I mean, that's just how loaded the AFC is. I mean, you can make a strong case for 11 teams.
And hopefully one of them isn't the Patriots.
That's not going to happen, bro. I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
I got the Patriots dead last in the division.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. If you could humor me, this is so bad, but whenever we're talking the best too, you know, obviously it's tough as far as your ranking for each division. You know, I'm going to give us the edge, Jalen Hurts, in the East for you. You know, in the South, you got to get Derek Carr because he's the most proven.
the North is tough, man. As much as I hate Kirk Cousins, man, that's probably your best bet, right, in the North, if you will, right, because who the hell else
I was tossed between Cousins and Fields. I think it was just a coin flip.
I really hate, you know, Cousins, but, you know, another conversation. And we don't know what's going to happen with Jordan Love. And then, you know, you don't want to sleep on Jared Goff, but you're like, hey, you know.
I was going to say, Jared Goff has that real frisky.
He does. Yeah. He does. So
I don't trust him. Do you?
No.
I'm so stupid with guys. And then for the what you said, it's like, man, whoever the quarterback is, you say Geno Smith, right? That's what I mean, like, both. It's Brock Purdy's playing well, too. So that's what you have to NFC West, but. I'm impressed. So anyway, I just had to add a little 2 cents ready to talk about how big the AFC is, too. So, we will move on. And I guess, who am I? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit, though.
Yep.
Yeah, that's weird. Okay. Let's move on to Gary's favorite team here. And Bill O'Brien, can he develop Mac Jones into an elite quarterback? Yeah, go ahead, Gary. I know your hand is ready. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
You know, I just wrote, no way in hell. You know, Mac Jones is just Mac Jones. He's not ever going to be elite. He might make it to where he's marginal. He might get up to the marginal state. Elite, I bet a year's wages on it.
And, you know, the other part of it is, we talked about that load of AFC, but he's got to deal with a very good Jets defense twice a year. He's got to deal with a much improved and pretty good, I think, going to be Miami Dolphins defense twice a year. And that Bills defense, they showed a little crisis. They get Von Miller back. Like, that's going to be a really good unit. So you got to face those dudes 6 times out of your 17 games.
Yeah.
Like, there's no easy wins. There's no 350-yard passing games in there for you to have. So unless you just go beat up on the bottom of the, you know, the Raiders and whoever was in last place, the Texans in the South, you know, you don't have a whole bunch of easy games for Mac Jones to put up really impressive stat numbers. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be hard for him with the talent he has at wide receiver and his own marginal talent just to come out and look like a exceptional quarterback. So I think it's
right.
One is that I'm with you, Gary. I just don't think he's that guy. But when you're not that guy and then you got to play a whole bunch of really good defenses multiple times in a year and you don't have a chance to pad your stats, it's going to be that much harder to say, hey, you know, that Mac Jones just blew me away this week. No, he didn't.
Who? Mac Jones? Who?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I don't see Mac Jones ever being an elite quarterback. I think the best you can hope for with Mac Jones is to be an adequate starter that take care of the football, doesn't
game
turn
manager.
The football over, and the game manager. In order for him to be successful, he's going to have a strong running game, good offensive line, and a heck of a defense, right? So that's going to be the calling card for the Patriots to be successful with him at quarterback. So I don't look at him. You're going to have to win games. Similar to the way Trent Dilfer did with the Baltimore Ravens, similar to the way Brad Johnson won games with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? He's going to have to be a game manager, adequate quarterback, strong running game with a good defense. So,
a good defense. Those two dudes had all-time defenses.
Yeah. I had to be honest.
They
was
good.
A great
it was
program
great.
At 30 for 30 on the Baltimore Ravens team, that 2000 team.
I'm just saying.
That was nice.
That's what made me laugh. I was like, no, they didn't have adequate defenses. They had historic defenses. Like, you can play quarterback on
adequate. They got to have great defenses, yeah. Hand the ball off, we good.
Well, I think what the Patriots will be doing is they're going to get a very high draft pick.
Mm.
Because they're going to be one of the bottom feeders. Which is as stacked as the AFC is, they can't compete. Genius or no genius, they can't compete. They don't have the talent.
Kyler Murray at all this season, I see them having a number one pick. And
that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
It's going to be really interesting to see if they take Caleb Williams. I doubt it. But
I can see the Patriots having a 3, 4, 5 pick in the draft.
I was going to say 5.
Yeah. Let me say this really quickly, though.
And I'm loving it.
You said this last year, though. What the hell was Matt Patricia doing? You know, that dude, like, he was old. Like, he didn't know what the hell he was doing. So at least you get an experienced, you know, play caller in Bill O'Brien. So at least you have somebody that knows what the hell an offense is supposed to look like and run that. So, you know, you can't help but get better if you're Mac Jones. But, again, I think the word that gets me is elite. Again, there's no way that dude's going to be elite. He hasn't proven anything about being an elite quarterback. So this is something that we're looking at. But I'm curious, like, if something happens and no matter how great he plays, it's going to be a challenge, bro. You ain't getting that.
But the other thing about it is that you talk about trust. I don't really feel like I trust Bill O'Brien. I feel like Bill O'Brien thinks that Bill O'Brien is way better than Bill O'Brien actually is. And he'll end up getting his own way, being ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I don't know if I trust Bill O'Brien to get him to elevate him either.
That's fair, 100% fair. All right, let's keep this going. We've got a couple things to talk about. Rob, briefly, we talk about women's soccer versus Netherlands. That's something we can talk about. I do want to talk about, you know, Bronny James, a little bit about, you know, Messi. You know, you can't help but talk about how he blew up and he just kind of destroyed the, you know, the Atlanta United here with a 4-0 win, excuse me. But, yeah, that was an ass-kicking. But other than that, you can talk about women's soccer if you will.
Well, I mean, they ended in a 1-1 tie. So, obviously, for the USA team, it's a little disappointing they didn't come out with the win. Obviously, let's see, who is their next opponent?
The Netherlands is good, though, bro. Like, that's not so a disappointment. Netherlands is good. That's a rematch of the championship game from 4 years ago.
Yeah. So, it looked like we played Portugal on Tuesday. But, I mean, it's definitely a tough matchup, and obviously still a lot of soccer to play, so you know we'll see what happens there. But ended in a tie tonight.
That's fair.
They're
going to blitz everyone. Yeah, go ahead,
JT. No, not the Netherlands. Netherlands are good. They packed the box. They're still in group stage. But, you know, they gotta win the next one to advance. That would be the upset if they didn't advance in the knockout stage. But, you know, putting them in the same group with the Netherlands it was tough anyway. Because if you're the other two teams, you got to be feeling like you're in an uphill battle to get past the USA and the Netherlands anyway. So not getting a loss is still a win, so to speak, for the U.S.
In group stage, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Netherlands is one of those teams that is
nothing. And so the U.S. plays Portugal next. So, you know, you got to beat Portugal on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you're going to have much of a problem with Portugal, but Netherlands – Netherlands is one of those teams that they're up there. They're up there every year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk about Bronny James here. So, you know, scary situation with Bronny, but looks like he is stable regarding that. And, you know, it's kind of an interesting situation. We're talking about some serious things with DeMar coming back and you know, cardiac arrest, this is some serious stuff too, man. So I don't know if you want to talk about that. Go ahead, JT.
I was just going to say I don't see the point at this point. They said that you lost consciousness in that episode as well. Like, your dad already has generational wealth. I hate it for him. I hate it for Bronny to have it probably end like that. But if you're LeBron and you're Savannah, like, hey, bro, you know, you can come underneath me and Rich Paul. You can get in the business. I will do everything I can to make you be around it. But I can't watch you go out there and fall out and die to play this game where I've already made it for us. And then you can literally do anything you want to with your life. We made that possible for you at this point. There's no point of even risking this at this point. You know, at the point where, you know, it's not like it's a little heart murmur. Because that dude lost consciousness. If they didn't have people on, who knows what happens if they didn't have people there, you know, being diligent over the USC players during practice, right? I don't know if I'm LeBron, if I'm Savannah, if I even take that risk. We don't need the money. You can do something else. You're a bright young kid. You can do whatever you want to. We have the money in the back room to do whatever you want. Please don't down the court, son, trying to prove that you can hang and be my namesake. Let's not do that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, very similar to the DeMar Hamlin situation, man. Yeah. Your life and your health is way more important in the game of basketball And in Bronny's case, like I said, man, they have generational wealth. I mean, LeBron is still playing, and he's a billionaire. There's only three athletes in the history of sports to be billionaires, and he's one of them. I mean, his dad is one of them. I mean, so, I mean, it's, you know, I know in DeMar Hamlin's case, he doesn't have it like that, but in Bronny James' case, man, you could still have an impact on the game of basketball in a lot of different ways without playing the game of basketball. Totally agree here. I mean, your health is way more important than this. And you know, the interesting thing about this is, you know, for the celebrity status that LeBron James had, you know, a lot of information on this has been really kept quiet. I mean, none of us really know really what happened as of right now.
You know, when I look, I was certain.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing that news media outlets, ESPN, you name it, TMZ, nobody just seems to have a lot of information on exactly what happened in this situation. I'm sure it's going to come out at some point, but when you talk about somebody, the status of LeBron James and his son, Bronny's getting a lot of attention even before this happened, it seems like a media outlet would have gotten a hold of the story of exactly what happened, and nobody has it right now. So kudos to LeBron and his family for keeping this close to the vest right now as they're going through this situation. And
fire LeBron
up for Bronny and you and the family too.
Well, you know, to back up what you guys said, you know, LeBron's done that for his family. He's put his family in a situation where he doesn't have to play basketball to take care of his family. Maybe, I don't know Hamlin's personal background, but you know, maybe he's that guy that had to do that for his family. LeBron, you know, he's already a billionaire. He's already doing his thing. I know his dream a week ago was, I want to stay in the league and I want to play with my son. That dream now is, I want my son to be healthy and live a long, nice life, you know. And, you know, so there's probably a lot of disappointment. You know, these sort of things. But I wish this kid the best.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been, if he plays in the NBA, you know, he's not going to be dad. He's not going to be that guy. That guy is a generational talent, you know, for his time. Yeah. Probably the second best player, arguably the first best player, as some young people say.
Yeah.
So he would have had to fight those demons, you know, of trying to be your dad, you know, trying to be in the league as long as your dad. All of these things. He don't have to worry about that now.
If you notice, LeBron James over the last year has kind of backed off of those sentiments of wanting to play with his son. You know, a few years ago, he was saying that a lot. But he backed off of that quite a bit over the last year, if you listen to some interviews of people asking him about it. And I think what LeBron was trying to do was take pressure off of his son. So that, I think that was a lot of pressure on his son to get to the NBA after his first year of college. And so I think he backed off of that quite a bit here over the last year to try to take some of that pressure, you know, off his son, which I think was smart, because I think initially that was probably too much pressure to put on his son to make it to the NBA after 1 year of school. I mean, everybody's just not that gifted. And, you know, we don't know if Bronny wouldn't have been able to do that or not. But if you notice, I mean, he really has backed off of those sentiments over the last year.
Well, there's two things I think about when I heard that. One, it just feels like sometimes the universe is like, I'm just not going to let you have everything. Like, you made it from everywhere. You made it from nothing to be this for 20 years, to be a billionaire, this and then, to be out there with your son. You know, like, it's like, you know, I hate to say that, but it was like, you know, I'm not going to let you have it all. You know, like, you've had so much, I'm not going to let this happen. I'm going to pull this piece back. But the other piece of your point is that there was pressure, but it was also pressure on the NBA GMs. Do you overdraft Bronny
for the opportunity to maybe get LeBron to lead the Lakers to come to the team to have that show and have them both in there to increase your prospect for your team.
Yeah.
Now, that has also probably gone away for a whole bunch of NBA GMs. They ain't going to say it out loud right now, but, you know, if you gave us a true serum, they're probably like, damn.
Really?
Yeah. But we had a chance to get him and his son and then have this show be here for, you know, 41 games a year, and now we don't have that opportunity anymore because, as we talked about, we don't think he should play anymore, given what happened to him, right? So it's just a whole bunch of stuff that happened with that. But first and foremost, again, I just hope that Bronny is good and they have a real conversation of, hey, man, we got you, whatever you want to do in life. Let's just not tempt fate again.
Yeah. And, you know, there were some NBA scouts that looked at Bronny as a mid-round draft pick in next year's draft, too. They looked at him somewhere as a 15 to 20 first-round pick somewhere in that ballpark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and that would move up if, you know, and I'm sure small market teams, Portland, you know, your team, Rob, the Pelicans, teams like that, that would have a shot next year at drafting a kid like that, knowing that dad wants to play with them, that's huge. That would have been huge. Those are the teams, in my estimation, those are the teams that are having those conversations. Man, we got snake bit again, you know. We might have had a chance at something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just a media whirlwind and money coming into your organization. Mm-hmm. You know, your arena's full.
Mm-hmm.
And you're probably competitive again.
Yeah.
We had the Hawks getting around the 15th, and there's like jokes like, oh, you know, LeBron's coming up, you know, and granted, this is all wishful thinking, right? There's no way they're thinking that too, but, you know, you had him about that 15th pick, and that's kind of where everyone was looking at too. But everyone has said pretty much, you know, what I've been thinking too is that you can't have it all. And I think just kind of putting a bow in that is it's tough, right? Your dad is LeBron James. There's no way that you're going to be as great as your dad. And that's okay, but just – That's a lot of pressure for anybody, too, to come in. So, you know, this dude is a chosen one. He's had this amazing career.
You know, he's just
filling
up his dad's business.
Yeah.
They were trash, though.
It's okay, right? Mm-hmm. And same thing like Shaquille. Like, all these great players, you know, Shaquille O'Neal, his son, they didn't even get to, you know, you got all these challenges that are happening, too. So what's going to happen with them? But I was going to think of another player, too. Was it Keontae George? That had a similar kind of where he fainted as well. Was that the guy that fainted on the court?
No, it's
the
guy from Johnson from Kansas State. He did it. He collapsed when he was at Florida. He transferred to Kansas State, second round pick. Not Keontae George from Baylor. Keontae George had a heck of a summer league too, man. Utah Jazz?
I saw a name. Yeah. Okay.
Keontae Johnson, is that his name?
That's what I'm picking up, Keontae Johnson. Yeah, I think I remember like there was a guy that fainted. And it took him forever to kind of get drafted, and they had everything. He think he was the one that fainted. Yeah, he almost died. Yeah. And he's like, I thank God everyone on the court. And you're like, okay. Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He collapsed when he was in Florida, playing against Florida State. And I remember actually watching that game and when it happened.
That was scary, right? That was scary because, you know, the guy was like, come on, bro. He got everyone, too. But anyway, let's do this really quickly. I know we're going to talk about ACC because, Rob, you got the Florida State jersey. We'll talk about the really quickly the AFC football predictions and Florida State number one next to Clemson. But we'll wrap that real quickly. Go ahead, man. 90 seconds.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're wrapping up our live portion of the show tonight. Thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports on the 12th, man. We're going to have a brief OT portion, so click on this same link. We got a little NBA and a little college football to wrap up on the OT portion. We're going to preview the Big Ten and the ACC. I know Jay Keith got something to say about the Big Ten, so you definitely want to stay tuned for our brief OT portion. Next week, we don't know what night we're going to be on. It'll probably be sometime Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday night. So check us out, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, Philadelphia. Y'all going back to the Super Bowl. We want to hear from y'all. Send us some cheesesteaks. All right, Chicago, what y'all going to do with Justin Fields? It's going to be 10 p.m. Central Time. Denver and Sean Payton, are y'all going to move to the top of the division over KC in San Diego? It's going to be 9 p.m. Mountain Time.
not
and
San
not
Diego,
San Diego,
bro.
The LA Park. I'm sorry. In Los Angeles, it's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific time for you all. Definitely don't want to miss this on next week. Good night, people.
Oh, yeah, do it. Yeah, he got that. I got my Florida A&M. He's got Florida State on. I can't stand Florida State. I'm with Gary. My second favorite team is the Miami Hurricanes. I've always hated Florida State. Damn Seminoles.
It's all good. I'm just going to say really quickly. Good stuff. Got a Jaylen Brown signing that 5-year, $304 million supermax contract.
Stupid.
Crazy. And as Rob said, who's going to be the $400 million?
Luka.
Damn, is that like a
Luka Doncic?
I'm already
thinking. OKC, he's a baller. He could be the one.
Wow.
And then the kid that just got drafted, you know, from France, rookie.
Yeah.
You know,
that's who I picked.
Well, I said anyway. Luka because you're right here. He's getting named to those first and second All NBA teams, right? He's getting all those accolades, so he's going to keep getting those kickers. So as the CBA goes up in terms of the cap, probably if he stays what he's doing on those teams, I think Luka probably might be the one to get it for 400. So we'll see. I love the Celtics did that dumb shit. Fuck Boston. That's dumb. Jaylen Brown ain't got no left hand. You going to give him that much money? Okay, $69 million in 1 year? Good.
Hey.
Kill your salary cap.
Do I think they overpaid for him? Absolutely. And I'm with you, JQ. I'm not a Boston fan at all. Probably one of the teams. There's about five, six teams I hate in all of sports, and the Celtics is one
Boston.
Of them. That's just one thing. You just would not see me with any kind of Celtics paraphernalia on. It's just not going to happen. And I will say this. If you look at it, you know, we talked about the Bucks a few years ago when they overpaid Chris Middleton. They wound up winning the championship. It's probably one of those things that Boston had to do in order to keep them together. I mean, they are a team that's knocking on that door, as much as I hate to say it. And they have to keep Brown and Tatum together to continue that ascend that they possibly have. It may work, it may not work, but it is a decision that they had to make in order for them to continue to push on that door. They just got Kristaps Porzingis, so we'll see how that works out. Seems like it's three forwards, but, you know, it's a position.
Ain't no team, Mike.
Yeah. but they got two good bigs when you talk about Robin Williams and Al Horford. Obviously, you trade the heart and soul of your team with Marcus Smart. So we'll see. I mean, he was really tough as nails. You know, so, I mean, that's a tough one right there. You still have the kid you got from Indiana, Malcolm Brogdon, on the team, you know, at the guard position. So, I mean, it is one of those moves that they had to make in order for him to stay right there in contention as opposed to breaking up the team. So, but I do think I agree to be slightly overpaid. Yeah, but
slightly overpaid.
$400 million.
Slightly overpaid.
We overpaid?
by $150 million, slightly overpaid.
I wouldn't say that.
And Porzingis, do you trust Porzingis? I don't.
I don't trust him.
The only way he's going to win a championship if he's sitting at the end of the Laker bench or something. That's the only way he's going to do it. He ain't going to do it on the field, on the court.
He had a good year with the Wizards last year, and they're hoping that he'll be a third option. So, but he has to stay healthy.
Hey, he had a good.
So.
You know, he's been in the league for 10 years, but he had a good season last year. You know that. You know, he has one good season and two or three shitty seasons. So I'm not expecting that trend to go up at all with him. And that's why he's moved around.
The same thing you said about Andrew Thomas, the same thing I'm wishing for the Celtics. I don't want him to be successful. So.
Well, I'm on that train with you.
I can see the gamble that they're making and hoping that it turns out to be good. You know, sometimes you got to take risks, and this is a risk that they're taking, hoping to get to the next step. But I'm with you. I hope it don't work.
Well, I think it's just it's a big stretch. Give that guy $300 million. My God.
He's going to make it $69 million.
I'd be signing that stuff from
69.
If I were him, I'm like, you imagine him dancing while he's signing it? He's just, you know.
Oh, man.
A lot of times it's about timing. It's about time. Now, Jaylen Brown did have his best regular season last year. He averaged 26.5 points a game. He shot 49% from the field. He didn't, to me, he was hit or miss in the playoffs, though. And that's where you got to make your money. He was definitely hit or miss. He's a really good defender. He's great in the open court. And that's what the new max contract is going for. And it's just a matter of time before somebody's got a bigger contract than this. It was really just about timing, and the timing was great for Jaylen Brown.
There you go.
Yes, it was.
There it is. Let's wrap this stuff. I'm just going to say, the reason why I'm talking about the ACC is because, Rob, you're one of the FSU. I know JQ hates that too as well. But just they are definitely poised to unseat Clemson going into the ACC too. So, like I said, you got we talked about Jordan Travis at quarterback, Trey Benson at running back, Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson. So, is it the year that they take over?
Jared Verse, everyone is predicting
the AFC. Yeah, that's going to, and then I think they got another transfer from Virginia for a corner or something like that I was looking at too. So they are definitely poised to unseat Clemson. Cade Kubelik is the quarterback right for Clemson, but, you know.
I think he's going to have a good year for Clemson.
So you're kind of looking at what's happening with that too. But, yeah, go ahead.
The topic should just be, can Florida State unseat Clemson? Because it's the only two teams that we really care about in the ACC that we really think have a chance this year. I love Miami, but they're not there yet. It's Florida State and Clemson. It's 1-2. We'll see how it plays out, but I think we all agree.
I get it. I'm hoping a small hope for Georgia Tech to actually be respectable at some point.
They're a bottom feeder.
Sorry.
Come on. Come on, I'm with you in your Georgia Tech fandom, but come on, man.
You know, I was looking at some of the Vegas odds on Clemson and Florida State. And, you know, they're right there, right next to each other. Some of them had 10.5, some of them had 11 for both teams. So, I don't know.
I don't care. I hate both of them.
Rob, come on, damn it. Come on, man. Shit.
I'm predicting Florida State to win the conference this year. I'm predicting Clemson number two. Obviously, Andre already said it.
Yeah.
Jordan Travis, the wide receivers that they have. They're going to have one of the best defensive lines in the country too, Florida State. Jared Verse could have been a top 15 pick if he'd have won the draft last year. He decided to come back. So he's going to be an elite pass rusher for Florida State as well. And LSU, we play him in Orlando first game of the season. So we'll find out how good we are too. But I think Florida State is the team to beat in the – I think this is the year they get back to the top of the ACC. Clemson, Cade, I think he's going to have a good breakout year as a sophomore for them. I think Clemson is going to be really good on defense again. I know they lost a lot of good defensive linemen. They got a great set of linebackers this year, this Clemson team. I like them as number two. And if we're going to talk about a few sleepers in the ACC,
They ain't going to be sleep. They ain't going nowhere.
Let's go. Let's hear it, Ryan.
I got North Carolina number three with Drake May,
who's
probably going to be the best quarterback in the conference. And then two other teams to watch is Duke and Miami. Riley Leonard, look for him to have a big year. And Duke's got a pretty good set of wide receivers, too. So watch for Duke there. And watch for Miami. They recruited really well. I think Tyler Van Dyke, they got a new offensive coordinator. Going to put some system back into play to what he had his freshman year. So I look for him to have a bounce back year too for Miami. So those are three teams that I think will be sleepers, will probably be bold teams, of course, but it's Florida State one, it's Clemson two, it's North Carolina three, Duke four, Miami five, and I'll stop there.
You can make goddamn bold being 6-6. Come on, man. Listen, last year, what was we talking about? NC State, Wake Forest, and all the foolishness? What ended up being? Clemson.
Well, that's probably what it's going to be. I've got Clemson at number one, Florida State at number two, North Carolina State, Pitt, then Miami. That's how bad I think Miami is going to be.
The fact that y'all go past two is hilarious.
Hey, Syracuse, we got listeners in North Carolina. Raleigh, Durham, and Miami.
They know that the best they're going to do is go 9-3 and go to the goddamn
Central
starting bullshit
Come on, man. Let's just be honest with it. Like, okay, if you want to talk about
Miami's over. Miami's over and under is like 7.5.
Ooh, that's a good bet. I would take the over on that. But I mean, but getting to 8 and being 8-5 is still not.
You know what? I've done that a few years, and I'm done with that shit. You know, I wanna...
gentlemen, it's all good. Thank you for indulging us. Yeah, have a good rest of your evening, gentlemen. Have a great day. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you guys next week.
Well, I know, Dick, you want to talk about the Big Ten.
No, I don't, because it's Ohio State and Michigan. James Franklin goes shit to bed because James Franklin always shits to bed. The Big Ten West sucks. And it ain't gonna matter if they get USC and UCLA in it. It's gonna be those two, and you know it. I mean, come on. The only one we can have a lively conversation about is the SEC. The SEC is the only one you can say maybe Alabama, Georgia, maybe LSU, and then you're only going three deep. Everything is so top heavy right now. Like, you might have a scare on a Saturday, you might even get upset. But when you go to the expanded conference finals, we know it's only one or two teams that's gonna win the conference. Man, it's just where we are right
hey,
now.
Hey, This is my Big Ten prediction. This is my Big Ten prediction to piss JQ off for the week. I've got Michigan at number one.
See.
Penn State at number two.
Yeah.
Wisconsin at number three. Minnesota at number four. Ohio State at number five.
He can't even say it. Good night,
people.
But you know, in all seriousness here, I know we're talking about the Big Ten and we'll wrap up here a little bit. I just can't see Michigan beating Ohio State 3 years in a row. I know the game was in Ann Arbor this year, and I know on paper Michigan's got the better quarterback coming back. J.J. McCarthy's got a chance to be a quarterback drafted in the first three rounds. They got Blake Corum coming back as a running back. Michigan might have two offensive linemen that's going to be All-Americans this year. So, you know, but I still think from top to bottom, Ohio State's more talented. But Michigan just has some core players in the right places, like quarterback, as we just mentioned, you know, offensive line and things of that nature. But I just can't think, even though the game is in Ann Arbor, I just can't picture Ohio State losing to them 3 years in a row. So I'm gonna say both teams will be 11-1 at the end of the year. I think Ohio State slips up somewhere. Michigan loses to Ohio State. Ohio State wins their division. Wisconsin, I think, will win the West division. And we have Ohio State, Wisconsin. Although the best three teams are in the same division, like they are every year, Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State. But I think it's gonna be Ohio State and Wisconsin. And look for Matt Rhule to have Nebraska competitive. They're not ready to win the division or anything yet, but I think they're going to be a team that's going to slowly move up and be competitive. And quite frankly, they need somebody to get competitive in that West Division. So
That's why they went and got USC and UCLA.
That's why. I could see a year. I could definitely see Ohio State and Michigan both making the playoff. Not saying that's going to happen, but I could see that happening again, just like we saw last year. I could see two teams from the Big Ten. I could see two teams from the SEC. About the only two schools I could see outside of the Big Ten and the SEC is maybe Texas and maybe Washington slipping into the college football playoff. Washington might have one of the best passing games in the country this year, and they got some weapons on defense. And in Texas with Quinn Ewers, I think there's seven teams. My top seven, you got Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, LSU, Washington, Texas. Those and Florida State, so I'll make it eight. So Florida State's another team that could possibly get into that playoff.
Make it 20.
Okay.
Nope, not 20.
Okay.
Hey. So you are right, Caleb Williams. I mean, how can you count them out too?
Because of that defense.
Yep.
It is.
That's what's holding them back.
All right, gentlemen. I think we did the full gamut. Good job on that. Have a great week again, and we'll see you guys same time next week. Peace out. Be good.
See y'all later, man. Bye-bye.